Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
The police Astra came screaming around the corner. Two officers get out, cry out of it, "Stay where you are, nobody move."
Hello and welcome back to the Auto Alex podcast. You join Taylor Hetherington, Maisie, my dog Maisie, she's sitting next to me, and Rory Mackay. In the unit, we're in the podcast sofas, yep. In the unit, and we've had a very busy morning.
Cleaning up after the Nürburgring trip.
Yeah, it's all been going down. Yeah.
It we've was spent a bit like 4 hours. A bit of a mess.
A bit?
Yeah, all because of one car as well, which you'll find out when it comes out.
You're not blaming me for this.
Alex, it was all your fault.
Shut your mouth. Anyway, we are fresh back from the Nürburgring. We got back from the Nürburgring on Friday night at about midnight, and then we went straight into petrol hedonism at Nebworth. I say we. Rory had a weekend off because he couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I was like, no way am I doing 4 weeks on the trot. So I took the days off.
You're just trying to kill the channel.
I've been so busy. Oh, I can't do 4 weeks on the trot.
Pathetic.
He's useless, isn't he? We soldiered on.
We did.
We had to do so much work.
No. Ooh. I'm not. Because I had a look at it. You guys looked like you were just having a jolly. Actually.
No, I was quite busy. I was on stage.
No.
Rory, I had to stay out late and go for a Wagamama's.
I was watching you with the wall of death stuff. You all look like you're having
that
a great
fun.
Time.
That was very hard work. I had to walk up a flight of stairs.
You did. But Petrol Hedonism Live on Saturday, Sunday was a lot of fun. Yeah, very, very fun. Anyway, today is Wednesday, the 20th of September. It is 12:56 p.m., which means that you're listening to this podcast today, on the same day that we recorded it. Right, Rory? It has to go out today.
Yeah, if they choose to listen to
it. If you listen to it today, then this was literally just filmed a couple of hours ago. Because we'd be very busy indeed.
Very busy. Someone had to go on a little track day and he wanted to do his little riding around in a bike in his little tighty whitey leathers instead of recording a podcast.
No, those leathers with the holes, they're just for you and me.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not motorbike leathers.
Wait.
They're not the same.
All your levers don't have a little hole around your mouth.
No. It's literally just one hole. Oh. Anyway, I went to Brands Hatch yesterday, did a No Limits track day with my buddy Gareth. It was a birthday present to him. And we did the Brands Hatch GP circuit.
And you went with Tom Lenthal as well, didn't you?
Well, we didn't go with Tom Lenthal. Tom Lenthal happened to be there with his buddies.
Oh, really?
Smashing around his brand new BMW bike.
And you went in the worst possible weather I could imagine, on slicks.
Yeah, full slicks, because I don't actually have wet tyres. Yeah, yesterday was fun. Went out for 2 20-minute sessions, and then the heavens opened, and I was like, nah. And then I went to speak to Tom, because he's a wise old owl.
Yep.
And he was like, Alex, I ain't going out anymore, all right? I'm sending my bike to America and I don't want to bin it, all right? I've got too much to do, you know? I've had my fun today, I'm going home. So you two, piss off, go home.
Do you know what? I didn't realise Tom Lenthal starred in Layer Cake.
You should have seen what was in his van. It was full of drugs.
Brilliant. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
But yes, so we've been very, very busy. We recently got back from the Nürburgring, like I said. Very, very eventful. I'll let you in on a little secret. We left with 4 cars, came back with 3.
Yeah, we need to go back and get the other one.
Yeah.
We do need to go back and get the other one, which is very annoying.
We'll film that. But on speaking of cars, we might as well give a little quick update on all the cars at the moment. A quick update on all
update.
The update.
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 But
we might as well give quick update on all cars around here.
As you can see behind
no,
us.
They can't no, they see, can't see.
If you're watching this
ears.
With your eyes.
This is the ears section.
Oh, okay. So if you watch this with your eyes section, which...
No, they can't.
No,
no,
this part
loud.
Isn't available.
No, I don't know how it works. But anyway,
sorry.
If you could see this with your eyes, my Mini is behind us.
Yeah.
And as always, it
looks
fantastic.
Yeah, there's loads just sanding marks all over the bonnet. It looks horrible.
Have you spent more money on it?
Yes. It is fantastic.
Why?
Because I like it.
Just get over it. Just sell it.
No. I like my Mini.
But you have a Supercharged Z3.
Yes.
If you had to keep one, which one?
I asked him all this earlier.
No. All Mini, no, Z3.
No, he answered it. He answered it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he say Z3?
Say your answer, Taylor. Come on.
It would be the Mini.
Would it?
Yeah.
So Taylor is selling his Supercharged Z3.
No,
was it 1,500 quid?
No, I'm keeping that as well.
You're not going to keep it.
Yeah, I am.
Right, okay. I give it what, four
Do you
months?
Know what?
Four
so
months?
Yeah. I would actually quite like to take it on some track days because it's quite fun. And I was wondering if you wanted to bring Phil on a track day. And we'll go out in our convertibles.
But nah. There's literally no point because I wouldn't see you because you'd be behind me. You'd be
true,
so far
you'll
behind
be in
me.
The paddocks trying to fix Phil.
You'd probably actually be broken
minutes.
Down with more belts.
So yeah,
probably.
Speaking yeah. of broken cars, let's give update on Phil.
So Phil's rear inside brake hose is split because it turns out that it was rubbing on the wheel.
Yep.
So it's very, very split.
That is the best case scenario though, because you thought it might have been some brake lines that had burst, but it turns out it was just stupid installation.
It was a flexi. Yeah. It was a flexi,
I've got
yeah.
a question, because yeah. I've never actually seen underneath Phil. Have you done anything with the underside of Phil?
Polybushed it.
Because I got a glimpse of the underside of Phil and he looked a bit shit.
No, what do you mean it looks like shit? It's all new stuff.
It was new stuff and now it's new rust.
No, it's
Has
just a bit
rust?
Of
it's got rust
it's
again.
It's not got rust.
So we were trying to jack it up and Alex was like going, oh no, don't jack up there. And he wouldn't let us jack it up on the sills.
Well,
bearing in
you,
mind
no,
the
you
sills,
never, no, you
the
don't
sills,
jack up on a sill
the
on
sills
an MX-5.
Have been repaired on his MX-5, so they should be.
But you do not jack up on sills.
But they should be fine because they're fresh
yes,
sills.
Yes, they should be fine, but you don't jack up on a sill.
It's also because his sills are rusted again.
No.
Well, no, it's probably just lapped up with filler in it.
Oh, for crying.
If I take my mic over there and start flicking away and I'll be able to hear the sounds of rust.
Shut up.
But anyway, maybe you should do something with the underside of that.
Yeah, it's all going to get done. Anyway, new flexies I've bought from Boffy.
Yep.
So they are going to be installed. I might even do that this week.
Yeah.
And we, yeah, me. And we need to do a rescue mission to the Nürburgring to pick up one of the cars that never made it. So the plan is, because we're going to trailer there, we're going to have an empty trailer going out to the Nürburgring. So we might as well put Phil on the trailer. And then I can have a bit of a payback for the last thing that Nürburgring did to Phil, which was, big oil leak.
And so he was left out there for a very short amount of time.
3 months, yeah, okay, very three short months. 3 months, yeah.
We're supposed to be bringing one of the cars back
yeah.
on the trailer. We wouldn't be able to do that when you break Phil on the Nürburgring again.
No, we'll worry about that another time.
We'll end up going over there and then having to just leave. The same car
no,
that
we'll
we're picking
Phil
up.
Out.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to have to buy a flat out there.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah,
that's a
we'll
good
do
idea.
That.
You know,
yeah.
speaking to Misha, apparently property is very cheap around the Nürburgring. And
don't tell everyone.
Yeah, he didn't want people to know.
Yeah, it's dirt cheap.
Yeah, but it's dirt cheap.
Well, that's because like 4 or 5 months of the year, like no one's there. It turns into a ghost town.
Monaco has a race one weekend. It's still very expensive everywhere.
Yeah, but that's because you can park your boat in Monaco.
Yeah.
You can't park your boat at the Nürburgring.
You've never tried.
That is true. We may give it a go.
Yeah, we'll do that. Anyway, cars. So Phil just needs some brake lines.
Yep.
Mini needs to get sold.
No.
The Audi A4.
S4,
currently has no wheel and no rear caliper because we had to borrow the rear caliper for another car. For the Nürburgring series, which you will see soon.
And it's still not even
it's still
close
not
to ready being sold.
Well, no, I've told him probably 6 times now to order the parts for it. And have you ordered the parts for the S4?
Hmm? Yeah. We've got an E30 Touring, my E30 Touring.
Which parts have arrived for?
Parts have arrived.
Thanks to
Febby. Thanks to Febby.
Yep.
So we're going to be doing a big kind of build series on the E30 very soon. And behind me, there are two big boxes with Scorpion Red Power. And they are exhaust systems for both of our E30s.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Scorpion.
Yeah. I can't bloody hell.
And then
we have the 944, my 944, which is my 944.
How much do you want for that?
Well, that probably will
How much
be
are you
going.
Offering?
No.
What do you want for it? I'll buy it on this podcast right
no,
now.
No, okay. No.
What are you offering?
No. $3,000.
No, it's an $8,000 car easily.
So the 944 probably will be going, but we will be updating you about that on a later date.
Yeah.
How much do you want for it?
$8,000.
I'll give you $3,000. It's
eight.
Worth nothing. It's sat there. It's got flat spots on the tires.
No, it doesn't. Why
and
does it have flat spots
don't
on
don't work.
It's just a minor electrical gremlin. Right. But yeah, I've got the Alpha 164, and that's obviously a 3-litre Busso. And they are kind of, they're just old, and they're just cool, and I prefer the old cool Alpha.
Well, you need to sell the 944 to be able to free up a bit of space and money to do a full restoration on the Alpha.
It does
because now you've done more than 5 miles in it. It needs a full restoration.
Yeah, I do want to give the engine to Bruno, and I want to have new cams, new blah, 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 and see if we can get to like 300 horsepower. That'd be cool.
I would say you probably weren't the quickest going around the Nürburgring, but you definitely were the smelliest going around the Nürburgring.
And it was quite a spectacle. Yes. Because I was behind you at one point, and I was laughing a lot.
Yeah, I was driving that car on its door handles.
Literally.
It was
fun. I've never seen body roll like it.
It was fun. What about when you look in the mirror?
Funny. Very funny.
What else we got? We've got Big Pete, who survived a whole trip to the Nürburgring.
Wow, well done, Big Pete. You actually did a journey.
Alex is starting to dislike Big Pete.
Starting?
Big Pete.
What did you say when I was cooking the chicken on the George Foreman? You were like, Don't tell Alex, but I think the windscreen's about to fall out. It's making noises like it's about to fall out.
What, did you hear that from Mark McCann, or was it
Rory?
It's
a great car, but the windscreen's falling out,
The previous owner may have told us that there was a leak coming from the windscreen, which it just needs to be resealed, which isn't a crazy amount of money to reseal a windscreen, is it, Taylor?
No.
Just pop in a bit of filler.
Also today on the way down when there was a lot of wind and rain, I just heard this like almost suctioning sound as the window was coming in.
Was Taylor in the car with you?
Funny. Very funny.
That was good.
So what you're saying is Big Pete has turned into a windy cottage.
He's fine. Look, at the end of the day,
he's getting sold.
He was the most reliable car that we took on the trip. And he did something absolutely amazing as well.
He didn't break down.
And
he did something else quite amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did something very amazing with 7 men.
That sounds quite like,
yeah,
quite
that's
a nice
that's only
out.
Something you can dream of, isn't it?
Yeah.
There will be a video coming out soon.
Diesel is currently with Chris up in the Lake District.
I've seen Chris's little, like, he looks like he's fallen in love with that.
Chris loves Van Diesel. So Chris is one of my oldest school friends. We've known each other since we were 12. And we're doing the Auto Alex merchandise stuff together.
Yes.
So we have Van Diesel for merch to go to shows and stuff like that. And Chris has taken the remaining stock back up to the Lake District where he lives to count it. But he's just like doing all these weird like Instagram posts with like a wish you were here.
Me and Bay.
Me and Bay. Van Diesel is actually one of my top three most reliable vehicles.
Genuinely. We've only had it about a week.
But it's doing well.
Yeah,
it hasn't broken down once.
That is true, I'll give you that.
And speaking of reliable vehicles,
can we talk about
your 530D?
Oh. So if you haven't seen the video, the last video from last Thursday, what was it? I bought a twin turbo BMW, £1,500.
Yeah.
That wasn't my car. That was in relation to Rory's X5 that he bought. But at the end of that video, because I got really jealous, Rory found me a BMW 530D Touring with an electric tow bar, with air conditioning, with cruise control, with leather. And it was an actual color as well. It wasn't like black or silver or white. It was a color.
It's funny because it looks pretty silver to me.
No, it's a gray. It's a beautiful gray. Oh, I just went to Tesco, right, to get the chicken for the George Foreman. And then this identical F11 comes in the other direction. I was like, F11 friends, and it was also driven by an old man like me. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if it's a 530D. And then I look around and I was like, 520. I was like, you loser. But it was a 64 plate as well. I was like you couldn't afford a 530D. But I've been doing towing.
Have you?
Yeah.
How does it tow?
Just of motorbikes, so it's like it's not there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And speaking of towing, how is your old tow vehicle?
I haven't actually finished yet.
Okay.
My 530. I love it.
Yeah.
I am so in love with that car. It has an electric tailgate.
It is nice.
And you know when you put the tailgate up or down, the parcel shelf automatically comes down.
Yeah.
Which scared the absolute bejesus out of Maisie.
I can imagine.
Because it was coming down and nearly chopped her head off.
I can imagine, poor cow.
Oh, Maisie.
Yeah.
No, it is very nice.
Oh, it's so. And I'm getting, you know, like easy 45 mpg when I'm careful on the motorway.
Mm. I bet that's nice, especially coming from the KN.
Yeah, yeah.
And, going back to the KN, because you keep trying to gloss over this KN. How is the KN doing?
Well, so the KN's currently with Tom Lenthal.
Well, it's funny actually, because Tom picked it up the other day.
Yeah,
and it was making such a funny noise.
Well, it's never had an oil service in my time. So it genuinely needs new oil. And then it'll be
but
fine.
But it sounds like it's a bit too late for that.
No. We'll give it an oil service, we'll find out.
It sounded like it was knocking.
No. It's for sale. I've got a bloke actually on Instagram who said he wanted to come round at 5, but I've not given him the address yet.
Did you let him know it was knocking?
It's not knocking. It needs an oil service.
It sounds like a piston is about to leave the chat.
Shut up. Right, they're taking the piston.
It's because Alex is aggressive driving. He keeps slipping the clutch.
He does.
No, sure. The clutch has still got a few miles left in it.
He's got a dodgy hip. He can half slip it a lot.
Shut up. Anyway, what have you been up to, Taylor?
I've been at the Nürburgring.
You
as
have?
Well. And then we did petrol hedonism.
Yeah.
And then this week, I've actually been working. So I bought a couple of cars to sell on.
Mm-hmm.
I bought two track cars, a Clio 197 track car and a Renault Twingo RS.
How much you give for those, Taylor?
Not telling you. And
I know. Do you know this?
I do. And
no,
I
do not disclose that information. That is
do you
classified.
Know? Yeah. You know?
But anyway. Yeah. So
I can say is I feel very sorry for the person who buys it.
Yeah. And also, you know Taylor's usual phrase of, I'll give you
Yeah.
Not far off, is it?
Shut up.
Well, I never said a price.
Anyway, I might be buying a 335D next week as well.
Really?
So I've been sorting that out. Been doing a little bit of admin work, a bit of catching up on messages because I didn't really check my phone while we were away.
What messages?
Just dirty ones.
Okay, yeah.
Dirty. And I'm just sorting out some of my cars. So the Mini, I just got back from the body shop.
Yeah.
I've had a few.
How much have you spent on that?
I don't want to talk about that because it makes me ill.
How much have you spent?
I think you spent at least 10 grand on that. Got,
oh, it's at least 10
no,
grand.
No, I haven't. It's got 10 grand's worth of bits on it, but I haven't spent that.
But it's just come from the body shop and it had like rust on
the
doors.
Yeah, I spent another 750 quid on it. But anyway.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, we are not glossing over that little rust patch.
It had a little rust patch, didn't it?
A little one. So it was just a few little bubbles.
It had
Taylor?
A hole in the rear quarter. But anyway, and I have no idea how it got there either. But anyway, so that was welded up and fixed. And I've got a new spoiler for it, a new retrim.
A spoiler? Where is it?
It's on the back seat. I haven't fitted it.
Oh, right.
a new steering wheel, stuff like that. Okay. What else? Oh, my X5 E70 is having a gearbox service.
Okay, nice.
Transfer box service, engine service, and a few other bits.
Lovely.
And my E30's got the wrong doors on it.
Yeah. Oh, did you speak to?
I need to speak to Luke.
You still haven't done that?
I've been very busy, Alex.
You have a go at me for not doing things.
I've been very busy. Oh, and my new unit as well.
Yeah.
The building is finished.
Wicked.
Today, the electrics...
Sorry, before you carry on, when were you supposed to move in?
Oh, just in August.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you were like...
Was it the end
you
of
know
August?
What?
It was the beginning of August.
Okay.
I think I want double the space.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
I'm not camp. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Taylor.
Drop it. But anyway. So all the electrics are being fitted in today. I've then got to build the mezzanine, paint the floors, and then I can fill it full of my crap.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot
I've
of
I've got
crap.
A lot
Do you
of
think
crap.
He's going to be in any time this year?
I don't think he'll be in by the end of next month.
No. I think it'll be like a little Christmas thing, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to be homeless.
You're going to be very jealous.
It's all right because it's
Am
not.
Am I?
It's,
yeah.
Why?
Because I've got a mezzanine. I'm going to have a shower.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
It's going to be insulated.
No, it's not. You said I'm not going to pay for the insulation.
I'm not paying $6,000 for what they want, but I'm insulating it in another way.
Can we just talk
farts?
No, I'm going to fill the walls with my old pants and socks.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
Well, he'll probably only need 2 weeks worth the size of his pants and socks.
Yeah. They're like parachutes.
What? What's like a parachute?
My pants.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
Speaking of doubling unit size, we need to double our unit size.
I told you this when you moved in.
Broken record.
We have outgrown this unit.
But, you know, my mate Ed Stracy, where I got married, he said that we can use a
Lovely
farm
Ed.
To put some stuff on.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
We
Ed
like
is
Ed.
Such a legend.
Ed is like the
Ed
legend.
Ed is lovely. I love Ed.
And he has an interesting car collection as well.
Oh, yeah. He just bought the RX-8 from Luke, didn't he?
He did, yeah. It's very nice.
Yeah, so he's been doing work on that and he's got a 370Z.
Yep.
That he takes on track.
Also, Ed loves the podcast, so hello, Ed.
Oh, hello, Ed.
Hello, Ed.
I look forward to not paying you for storage. Anyway, I think that's enough waffle. Maisie is like totally KO on the floor in front of us.
She's probably just as bored as everyone
else. No, she's not bored. It's just because we're having building works at the moment. Like the whole downstairs is upstairs, which means that Maisie is upstairs. And because we usually lock Maisie downstairs.
Speaking of your building work, have you seen the back of his car?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It is caked in dust. Like,
That's plaster dust.
Why? Yeah.
Why? Because I parked my car on the driveway and then the builders opened the windows and then they literally took Kango hammers to the walls and took all of the plaster down. And I walked outside. I was like, it looks like my house is on fire because all of the dust is coming out.
The plaster does stain the paint. If we leave it on it, like in sunlight.
It's all right.
Oh, there's been no sunlight.
It's pissing it down with rain at the moment. So it is.
And there has been no sunlight. Yeah. Mm. But it's all right. It wouldn't be my car unless it was a little bit buggered.
That is true. I told you it was too nice for him, didn't I? Right?
But did I tell you, I love that car. Yeah, it's fantastic.
You do love that car.
And it's got parking sensors. It's got like all the stuff that everyone has, but I've never had.
Parking sensors are very good for you because you do that old man thing when you park and put your arm over the other seat.
Do you know what was quite funny though? Because everyone was like, there were a lot of comments about his car where they were like going, it's not ULEZ compliant.
Oh, it's ULEZ compliant.
And also a lot of people were saying, Alex is very much overpaid for that car. There are a lot of comments saying that you overpaid for that car. But I think that is because a lot of people don't understand the fact that it's ULEZ compliant the fact that, yes, you might be able to get that exact same car, but a year older for four grand, but it won't be ULEZ compliant.
No, because this is the efficient dynamics version as well.
Yeah.
So it's got, how does that work? It's like a little battery pack or something, and then that runs the ancillaries, doesn't it? Do you know?
I have no idea, unless it's got a smart charging system, which I would have thought it has anyway. Mm.
But when you let off the accelerator, it puts charge into a battery.
Oh, it probably does that through the alternator then, which is technically means it's a mild hybrid.
A mild hybrid.
That's probably like why it's compliant.
It's Mildred.
Yeah.
As a, like a funny alternator on it.
Yeah. But that car's very good. Also, when I went to Tesco, right? This is the third time I'm telling you this. And I switched off. And then I locked the engine.
Oh,
and then I came back outside after buying the chicken for the George Foreman. I was like, why are my lights on? And then I got closer and the engine's still running.
Really?
Yeah, you can. Apparently, I didn't switch off the engine.
You are so old.
But you can apparently lock a car while it's still running and walk away from it. And it's okay, that's cool.
Okay, I've got to come clean now. So when we're in the Isle of Man, we got lent a very nice Honda.
Oh, here we go.
And do you remember on that day where I was quite ill and we had a meal?
Yeah.
And then I was driving and then we had the meal and I came back. I realized that I left the car on the whole time running while we had our meal.
Really?
Yeah. But it was a hybrid, so it was like it was off, and apparently cutting it just kept cutting in and out.
So it's just overheating while we were having.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I've known people do that with Priuses before.
Yeah,
you just get out and lock it, and it's just you don't realize it's on, but then like after a few minutes, it's the same
running train as a Prius because it was a Toyota.
I didn't think you could lock a car.
No, it was a Honda.
It was a Honda.
Well, usually when you get out of them and the engine's still running, it will beep at you.
Yeah,
yeah.
From the outside,
I was expecting something
to tell you that it's still on, but obviously Rory's so old and deaf.
Well, me too.
And you.
Yeah. I was dying on that trip as well. I think I was actually part of the afterlife.
Anyway, everyone's really bored now. They're driving and they're doing work and they're bored. So we're going to stop boring you because we've got four topics that we want to discuss.
Yes.
Yeah?
So
why don't we discuss topic number one?
So bum, bum, bum. Topic number one, and this question is for all of us. Is what is your weirdest police encounter? Let's start with you, Taylor.
Oh, we're going to be here all day.
Weirdest or...
It could be...
Just talk about a police encounter that might make us laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you could actually tell without...
Have you got a lot of police encounter stories?
I've got a few and they're usually quite funny. I've never been in prison.
Do any involve caravans?
No, I've got no caravan police encounters.
Oh, but can you tell us about your caravan encounter?
I've never had a caravan encounter.
Wasn't there something body,
no,
chassis?
No, we were not.
Height restriction.
Anyway.
It was in Mexico, though. Well, yeah,
I was on holiday and I crashed a caravan, but we'll gloss over. So my weirdest police experience was probably actually with my best mate at the time, Henry. And Henry had a Ford Fiesta ST Mark 7. And it was when they sort of first came out. This must have been back in 2017, 2016.
Is this the same Henry that sent me a message saying, can you please tell all the people who send stuff to not send them to me because he's taken over your unit.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, Henry. I know Beer 52 sent you a whole bunch of beers.
Yeah.
Because they don't have my address.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So that Henry, yeah. So he had a 66 plate Fiesta ST Mark 7 in white and he bought it brand new. And we were going through town one day near where I live and he had this thing. It was cool at the time to remove his front number plate. So he took his front plate off and we were going through town and I would say he was probably doing, am I allowed to say what speed he was doing on the voice telly?
I mean, is that the reason he got pulled over?
He was doing over the speed limit.
Okay.
Let's just say that. And he went straight over a mini roundabout and then a little bit further down the road, a police Astra came the other way.
A Pastra.
Obviously, the visors went down. They saw us coming the
other
way.
No face, no case.
Yeah, no face, no case. They saw us coming the other way, doing a tremendous speed, let's say, with no front number plate. And probably assumed immediately that the car was stolen.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they done a Yui at the mini roundabout that we'd just gone over. And Henry obviously realised this and thought, oh, no, I'm going to be pulled over. And then a natural instinct, he just thought, I know, I'll floor it. So Henry floored Jesus. It, got to another roundabout, turned left, and then went immediately left again. And we drove into a cul-de-sac.
Mm.
And I was like, oh no. Like, so we've come flying down into this cul-de-sac, again, at quite a tremendous speed.
Right.
Got to the bottom of it, stopped, and literally, I turned to my right to say to him, should we get out? And before I finished that sentence, he was out the pub. And
what, ready just to hand himself over?
No, oh no.
Okay.
He was legging it down the field.
I looked back straight again and he was running up someone's driveway.
But the car was registered in his name.
Yeah. Okay. And I thought, what on earth's going on here? So anyway, I got out of the car and I started moving towards him. Obviously, I don't run. So I started moving towards him and he jumped in this guy's head. And I just remember looking at him, and as he was sort of hanging off the guy's fence in his head, ready to jump over the fence, the police Astra came screaming around the corner. Two officers got out of it. Say where you are, nobody move. And I just stood there in the middle of this guy's driveway looking like a complete melon. I was like, oh no, what's going on here? I got cuffed, like hands behind my back, cuffed, put in the back of the Astra. And the lady police officer sat in the car with me and she started questioning me while Henry got arrested, put up against the outside of the police car and questioned. God. And they were like, you know, why have you run, blah, blah. And I was like, I genuinely don't know. I just felt like it. I said, I do apologise about this whole scenario, but I genuinely don't know.
I just had a sudden burst of energy.
And they were like, you know, have you done drugs? Has he been drinking, blah, blah. I said, genuinely no. I said, we've never been, you know, arrested or... Neither of us got criminal records. I said, neither of us even have any speeding tickets. Like, we've got no points. No. I said, I don't know why. It was natural reaction.
And she went, you've watched too much telly.
And she went, that's an awfully strange natural reaction to have. And Henry said the same thing while he was outside the car. And the police officers just could not work out why he'd run away. So another two police cars then turned up.
Two.
Searched the whole car, had all the boot carpet out, the spare wheel out, all the glove.
Were all the curtains twitching?
All the curtains. Oh my goodness, the neighbours, what would they have thought?
I bet they loved it.
Searching the hedges as well.
The hedges, they searched everything, trying to find like drugs or whatever.
It's a good job they never found them.
And they just, you're right. And they just couldn't work out where we'd run away. I said, genuinely, it was just his natural reaction. I don't know why we did it. We do apologise, like, and in the end, they ended up letting us go, but they were so distracted by the fact that we'd, like, run away and then jumped in this man's hedge that they didn't do anything about the fact that he had no front plate and that he was speeding. So we just got away with it.
So the lesson here is, if you're speeding through a town and a police officer comes after you, duck down a cul-de-sac and just run.
And make them believe that you're a drug dealer.
And and then run because they'll forget about the speeding.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a whole like
just cause a distraction, yeah.
Drugs on board, then don't do that.
I would advise not taking that advice. But yeah,
no, if you've got a load
that's
of drugs,
Taylor's on, advice. It's terrible.
If you've got a load of drugs on board, just don't go down a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Alex, what's your story then?
So I've got two. Which one should I go?
Oh.
I'll go with the more recent one first, because that was actually me driving a motor vehicle. The one after was me not driving. I was just very, very drunk.
Okay.
So the first one was, I think we'd shot something with Freddie, hadn't we? So Tavarish.
Yeah, when we bought his M3.
Yeah, when we bought the M3.
Oh, I remember you telling me about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and Freddie and I, and I think someone was in the back, was...
Was it me?
Was it you?
Yeah.
Okay. Standard Rory in
I'm
the back.
I'm always in the back.
And we were near my house, and I was in a 20 zone, and I was not doing 20, but not much above, but it's like one of those 20 zones that shouldn't really be a 20. And then there's this car like right up my arse, and I'm like, something doesn't feel quite right. And in my head, I was like, I think that could be a police car because he's so close up my arse. And I'm not doing the speed limit. So why would someone be really pissed off with me not doing the speed limit?
Did you have your sun visors down?
I didn't, no.
Oh,
no,
that's why he caught you then.
Yeah, no, I panicked. Anyway, I take a right at the mini roundabout. And then lo and behold, it's an undercover cop car. Blues and twos. Wee, wee, wee. And I'm like, oh, bloody hell. I was like, Freddie, get the gun. and yeah, pull over. And then obviously the cop car pulls over behind me. Blues and twos still going. Well, he switched off the sirens. And then he like saunters up to my side window and I'm in nut, you know, my old X5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the window doesn't work very well. So I had to like, I made him wait to talk to me. And he was like, do you know why I pulled you over, sir? And I was like, no, officer, I don't think I've done anything wrong. And he was like, because you're driving a shitbox. And I was like, I see what's happened here. You've recognized the car. You've recognized the Auto Alex sticker and you just wanted to say hello.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And we had a quick chat.
You did have a quick chat, and then I remember him walking off, and you just going, is he allowed to do that?
Is that illegal? Is that actually illegal to be pulled over?
Just to have a chat with someone.
Yeah. And he wasn't wearing his hat as well. I don't know if you're allowed to, like, pull someone over unless you're wearing your hat. Maybe so there's a weird, like, British
thing. I don't know.
Maybe that's an old wives' tale.
Maybe a pregnant woman weeding it.
Mm.
Is she allowed to do that?
What?
Yeah, in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old law, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where pregnant women are allowed to wee in police officers' hats.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know the last time it happened, but...
Maybe we should try that out. That's a viral video, isn't it?
Well, I look pregnant, so I'll give it
a go. You do, yeah.
I'll just wear a wig.
Yeah. And the other police story that I have, where it wasn't driving a car, but it involved cars, was... I think I turned like 20 years old. I was in Exeter University with Gareth and Chris.
Were cars even around then?
Shut your mouth. You weren't born, sunshine.
It was just horse and carriages.
No, horses weren't invented yet. We still call them dogs.
Yeah. Imagine Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
That's what it would have been like.
Is that with Bruce Willis?
No, it's a game.
Alex is too old. He's but Red Dead, that's... If it wasn't on the abacus, he doesn't.
Oh, know. Abacus. Yeah. And a spoon and the egg.
Yeah. Sports day. Yeah.
I like that. Sports day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went out for my birthday. Got very, 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 very drunk. Like very, very drunk. This is like in a time where you used to go to a university club and you used to be able to buy quad ball, which was quadruple vodka and Red Bull for like £4. And you would get smashed. Like absolutely smashed. Anyway, we spent a good evening together. And then on the way home, Gareth and I, for whatever reason, had a very, very large argument about nothing. And it started, there was a fracas, a little fracas.
Okay.
That means a fight, Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like the whole Clarkson thing, that was a fracas.
No, that was him punching someone in the face.
Yeah, they called it a fracas.
Okay.
Yeah, it just sounds more posh than it is.
Was it an actual fight or was it like you two just...
We were horsing around a little bit and then it got a little bit nasty. Anyway, Chris did what he did best and he just legged it because he was like, I can't be dealing with this. So he went away and then Gareth and I had a massive, massive like slagging match. And then we found each other about 20 minutes later because I think we just got on the phone. We're like, I'm really sorry, Gareth, I love you. And then to make up for it, we decided that we would go to the longest, straightest road and find small cars.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and then go to the rear of these motor vehicles and pick them up and then pivot the rear into the road. And we must have done this to about 10 or 12 cars.
Mm.
And you look down the road and it's like a chicane all the way down. It was fantastic. You know, we're talking stuff like 106s,
yep.
KAs, all that kind of stuff where you can quite easily like pick up the rear. I don't condone doing this, but it just, for whatever reason, it felt the right thing to do. Anyway, a few minutes later had passed and we were just admiring our work And then all of a sudden, I hear a motor vehicle. I'm like, aye, aye. Something's up here. We're in trouble.
Ayop.
Ayop. And then I hear, don't move. And then I did what you did. I did the opposite of not moving. And I moved very, very quickly, like as fast as I could go. And I just ran into an alleyway.
Right.
And because I thought we were going to get beaten up by people, you know, one of the people who owns the car. Turns out it wasn't a person who owned the car. It was a police officer, a couple of police officers.
Brilliant.
One of them caught Gareth straight away because I don't think he legged it because he saw that they were the cops. And the other one chased me for a little while and then realized there was no point because I was very, very speedy back then.
Right.
And yeah, I legged it and Gareth phoned me and I didn't pick up because I was like, he's been turned. He's a snitch.
It's the police.
Yeah. And you know, the phrase snitches get stitches, right? Mm. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to get put down today. Not put down, get put away. And anyway, they put Gareth in the back of a police car and they were like, where's he gone? And then Gareth was like, oh, I think he's gone to X, which was a massive lie. And then he made them do like a massive tour of Exeter city centre. All the while, I was still hiding petrified in an alleyway. And a few minutes went past and then Gareth phoned and said, Alex, they're getting the dogs. And I was like, what? They're going to get the dogs on me. And apparently they were actually going to get the sniffer dogs or whatever.
Whatever for?
The evil dogs. Because I don't know what they thought we were doing, but they didn't like it. And because I'd run, they were like, he's serious trouble.
So did they not actually know that you were moving cars?
I don't know. I don't think they clocked it. I think someone must have called the police on us and said that we were probably trying to break into cars.
Okay.
But didn't see that we were actually just picking them up. Anyway, I made my way to the police because they'd actually all gathered at a local co-op and Gareth was there. And they were like, yeah, so what were you doing? And I was like, oh, we were lifting cars. And lifting in colloquial means, yeah, like trying to steal cars.
Yeah.
And they weren't impressed. And they were like, what's your date of birth? And I was like, it's my birthday today. And they didn't seem to care.
Right.
But yeah, they let us off with quite a very stern warning. And we're like, don't do that again. So yeah, that's my other police story. Okay. Like just getting chased down by police because we were, you should have seen the road though. It's fantastic.
So I did that once on the way back to my house with a few mates.
Yeah.
We found there was a very, very large driveway with a very, very small Nissan Micra on it. And we thought that it would look funnier if the Nissan Micra was sideways and not facing the house.
I've done that too. Yeah.
So we turned the Nissan Micra sideways and it fit perfectly in the driveway. And we just looked at the end of it and thought, how on earth are they going to get that out in the morning?
So I did that with a friend's Nissan Micra in Devon as well. I've got lots of stories about Devon. And there was a Nissan Micra.
You guys are moving cars around.
Yeah. Oh, it's very funny, Rory.
But there were enough of us to be able to actually pick it up and put it on its side. So we did that. That was funny.
Any damage?
Oh, probably massive damage. It was a friend's car, so it didn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine then.
Yeah, I think that's also the same Nissan Micra that I jumped over a humpback bridge.
Brilliant. Didn't you jump your first car as well over the humpback bridge?
Oh, yeah, nearly into a lorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I very nearly killed Chris and I. But that's for a different story.
Okay.
Rory, have you got any exciting police stories?
Yeah, so my police story was me teaching a past girlfriend to try and drive in a car park.
You mean you've had more than one girlfriend?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
I know, I wouldn't believe it either. But yeah, I was trying to teach her to drive. I just bought an RX-8 and when I bought it, it's got these two little small circular side lights in it.
Yeah.
And someone had put blue LEDs in them.
Brilliant.
So anyway, I'm
impersonating a police officer.
Wow, this is what the guy came over. He wanted to have a chat with me about the lights. But my girlfriend at the time was driving the car. So anyway, I see the police coming towards me, and I've got loads of things going through my head. Going, she's not insured. We're like to be driving because we were in a car park. So I was like, there's no point getting her insured. And then I just see him coming towards him. I'm like going, do you reckon I could switch seats with her really quickly? Like, would they know? And
would
I'm like,
they know?
I'm like going, oh, fuck. Anyway, and eventually the police car pulls up alongside the window, the driver's window. And then he starts giving her the signal to like wind down the window. And she's just staring at him like in panic. She just goes straight into panic mode, does not know what to do. She's there trying to find the button, but she can't find the button. And I'm just there sitting there just going, oh God, I'm not going to have my car taken off
me. I'm going to have to break up with you.
Oh, this is going awful. Anyway, next thing I know, I just hear the door open. And then she's stepping out with her hands up in the air like it's an American cop.
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
And I just look to my right and the two police officers are there pissing themselves laughing, like literally just in hysterics. Anyway, they get out and they just have a chat and I'm like, explain the situation. And I was like, oh, teaching her to drive. I thought it was fine because it's a car park. They explained that it was actually a public car park.
Oh dear.
So technically she should have had to have been insured. But because they were just laughing so much, they just ended up going, oh, just swap back. Look, just don't do it again. And they let us off. And just
brilliant.
Said,
that's fantastic.
That was it.
What was the ex-girlfriend's name?
It was an ex-girlfriend's name. Yeah.
Was it the one that you said you let get away?
No.
Yeah, she was.
No, because there hasn't been one of them, because my current one is the only one.
Oh, well done.
Very sweet.
Shout out to Ellie. One day you're going to wake up and have a look at this piece of shit. I'm done.
So have either of you two actually got any convictions?
None.
Not a single one?
None.
Not a speeding fine?
Nope.
I had a speeding fine. Yeah, I again, in that bloody RX-8. I was there showing, I was giving a lift to one of the people that I used to work with. And then we're on this like dual, you know, those sometimes in the cities, they've got those dual carriageways where they look like they should be like 40, 50, but they're actually only 30.
Yeah.
And that we've been stuck behind a learner driver for such a long time. And then eventually it opens up into this dual carriageway and he's like, oh yeah, you can just get past him here. There's never any police or anything. Uh-oh. And I'm like, all right. And yeah, put my foot down. I go past and then off his head, all I see is a police van.
That is the worst.
Oh, God. Anyway, 2 weeks later, I got the ticket and it was 45 in a 30, which is, yeah.
That's very irresponsible, so, Rory.
Which is above the threshold for a driver retraining course.
Yeah.
So I just got straight points on my license.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any now?
No.
Any points?
No.
Have you got any points in your license?
None.
Have you had points on your license?
No.
Why do you say it with a smirk?
Because you're looking at me with a funny smirk.
I have an expectant smirk.
So out of the three of us, I'm the only one that has had points.
You are the most irresponsible out of all of us.
That is absolute crap.
I have had things other than speeding fines, though.
Wait, what?
What?
I've had two Section 59s.
What's a Section 59?
It's what you get when you're caught for antisocial behaviour.
Oh, what, like? Ragging around in an Alpha 164 with the loudest exhaust.
Yeah, it's similar to that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of them was because I got caught drifting my E92 M3 around a trolley bay in Tesco.
Round a trolley bay?
It was late at night. There was no one in the car park. To be fair, it was a really good drift.
Okay.
Was it?
No one else was around. I hadn't had it for very long and I wanted to drift it.
So it wasn't... So it was much better than the drift or attempted drift you tried to do in your E30 when you bought it.
Yes, because
we went to the services and then you were drifting in the car park and there were lots of disgruntled people.
Yeah, because my E92 actually had a limited slip diff, whereas the E30 doesn't. But the funny story is, so I didn't actually know that I'd got caught. And a few days after I'd done it, I got a phone call from a lady from my local police station.
Oh.
She said, hello, is that Master Taylor Hetherington, blah, blah. I said, yeah, speaking. She said, would you mind coming down to so-and-so police station just for a little chat? And I went, what's it regarding? And she went, we'll discuss that when you get here. Could you meet us at 12 o'clock? I went, yeah, no worries.
What's going through your head?
Oh, a lot of poo.
Oh, okay.
I was very, very nervous.
But did you have any
idea?
Because
let's face it, Taylor, you are a dodgy man. So
you are so dodgy.
There must have been so many things.
So many things.
How dare you?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was really nervous about it. I didn't know what I'd done. To the point where I walked to the police station because I didn't want them to take my car away. So I hid it and I walked to the station.
So you knew it would be car related?
Well, oh, yeah, obviously, yeah.
Okay.
And then I went into the police station and she said, oh, do you have any idea, you know, why we've brought you in here today? And I sort of had an idea that it might have been the drifting. But I thought, well, there was no officers there, like, and there was no one there. Like, it wasn't
and
like
the,
it was
and a, they don't have any cameras at all.
Well, did you leave that in line?
So she said, what do you think of this then? And she turned the screen around and there was a video of me drifting this trolley bay. And I looked at it and the only thing I could think of was, that was actually quite good.
Fair play.
Fair play. Yeah. And she just turned the screen back around and looked at me and I went, I don't know what to say, really.
Just say, could you have said it wasn't you?
And she was very disappointed.
Oh, but she didn't appreciate the drift.
And no, she didn't appreciate it at all. No, I did, but she didn't.
Yeah, that's the
same. And then she said, you know, we're going to deal with this accordingly, blah, blah. And I said, do you mind just going easy? Because, you know, I need my license for work-related reasons. And she said, oh, what's that? And I told her I work for the AA, blah, blah, blah. And she said, okay, well, so you definitely need your license then, don't you? And I was like, yes, I do, as it turns out. And yeah, she gave me a Section 59.
Oh, okay.
For antisocial behaviour.
So she let you off quite
yeah,
quite
yeah, nice. Fairly easily, yeah. Yeah.
And so what does that mean then when you get a Section 59?
It just means that if you get caught again for antisocial behaviour, yeah, then you get your car seized straight away.
How have you not had your car seized? You're the most antisocial driver I know.
Because they disappear after about 2 years. I think it's it might be a year actually. I think it's 12 months. Okay. It's on.
So you misbehave for a year and then the other year you have a year off.
But it's registered to the car and not your license. I believe.
Okay. So that's why you have such a high turnover.
So, the other time.
He's getting them weekly.
Was when I was really young and I got caught doing a burnout in my E36 328i in front of my mates.
You are an absolute liability.
I just wanted to test the car's capabilities. I was doing a very low speed. I actually got caught by an undercover police officer. He wasn't in, like, I think he was off duty, and then I got done for it, but like not at the time again. I got put on a driver awareness course.
Well, you never learned anything.
And
did
I was
you?
The only one. They were going through like why everyone was there, and everyone was there because they'd either jumped a red light or gone through a red X on the motorway.
Yeah.
And then they got around to me and I was like, yeah, I got caught doing a burnout.
Were they impressed?
And they
did
were
you get
all
a round
just,
of applause?
No, they were all shaking their heads.
Oh, what?
And I was like, oh, you bunch of old miserable fogies.
Shaking their heads, even though they were going through X's and through traffic lights. That's really bad.
Very disappointing.
Pot kettle black and all that.
But yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you've had quite a colourful car history of bad stuff.
Fun car history.
I don't know if the law would agree. Mm.
But I'm not what you'd call antisocial.
You man. Are...
You're the most antisocial.
A walking, driving asbo.
I am not.
You actually
How
are.
How dare you?
And on that note, should we move on to the next question? This podcast is proudly sponsored by Tyre Streets UK, where you can get 10% off your tyre order using the code... Auto Alex. We all have Tyre Streets UK tyres on our cars, and you should too. Auto Alex for 10% off.
The next question is, what is your worst or most interesting breakdown experience?
Shall I start?
Go on then.
Okay, so I've not actually had many breakdowns, which is very, very lucky because
shit.
Yep. Shut up. Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, actually, no, you're right.
Yeah.
I take that back, sharp. until this year, I've never had any breakdown cover.
Yeah, your version of breakdown cover has been...
Friends.
Instagram.
Yeah.
I've broken down here, someone please help me.
Yes. Yep.
Which should work quite well, but turns out it doesn't.
Oh, is this your story, is it?
This is my story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
this is a good story then.
It is a good story. So I think it was year before last, still working with Car Throttle. And we did a shoot. I can't remember. Do you remember what shoot it was? It was MX5. Was
it
a Mark
1? MX5 Mark 1. No, wasn't it versus the Renault Trophy RS?
Or was it a Mark 2? I think
it
was a Mark 2.
It was a Mark 2 NB.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was it something like slow driver, fast car versus fast driver, slow car? Something like that.
Yeah.
For example. So that was at Kerbera. So yeah, smashed the car around. Lovely, lovely. On my way home, I drove over some big shard of metal that was on the M40 or M6 or something. I think it was M6 because I was still quite high up. And I was like, oh, that's probably going to go quite badly. And then a few seconds later, it was like, dog, 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 dog. And yeah, the tire just blew out and I just went straight on the hard shoulder. And I was like, had I put a spare wheel in, which there were many at Kerbera because I actually took them out to be faster around the track, and then I just left it there.
Brilliant.
Had I had that, I'd be able to carry on going. Also, if I had any breakdown, I'd be all right. Because what I mean, you used to work for the AA. It only takes you about 10 hours to get to you.
I was a very, very fast AA man. Okay. But yeah. Okay.
And I was like, I have kind of screwed myself over here because I have none of those things. And what do I do? I don't know where I am, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, I'm very influential. I'm an international man of mystery. People follow me. Yeah?
Right.
Right. And I was like, I'm going to get on Instagram and I'm going to ask if anyone in the local area can help me. So if you're able to, then you can actually have a look at all of the stories on my Instagram that I did a while ago. I think it was, let me just look this up because it was, I was actually very proud of all these stories. It was quite a lot of fun to watch. But I did a whole bunch.
It's watching a man's descent into madness.
Yes.
It's very good.
Okay. So if you know the stories thing on Instagram, if you can go
to highlights.
There's one that says, oh no, that's broken down. That was actually the car that you sold me, Taylor.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't that one. So I'll keep scrolling. Sorry, just bear with me. Bear with me. Can you do some music in the background, please, Taylor?
I hear my love song playing.
Oh, I got it. So it is stranded, hashtag FML. So you've got to scroll quite far into the highlights. But I was stranded in the MX-5 and I was like, can anyone help me? And then some people were like, yeah, I can help you. And then someone messaged and said, I'm not too far away. I'm going to give you a hand. And I was like, fantastic. How long are you going to be? 20 minutes. Fantastic. And 20 minutes came and went. I was like, maybe he's a bit lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, what's happening? He's like, yeah, I'm on my way. And I think he like sent me a little maps screenshot or something. I was like, oh, he's definitely on his way.
Yeah.
And then an hour went and he wasn't there. And I was like, oh, what's going on? I feel like I'm being pranked. Anyway, 2 hours later, I realized that I was being pranked. And he just completely ignores me. And I was like, oh, fair play. Yeah, you totally got me.
So after that, you must have been like, you know what? I should probably buy a breakdown cover. Because obviously that would have been like your wake up call to go, you know, sometimes.
No, I left it. I left it 3 years.
Yeah,
you did. Oh my God.
But I was on the side of the M6. It was dark. It was pissing it down with rain. And if you have looked through the stories, I actually descended into complete madness. I was screaming. It was quite fun in a weird kind of way. Ooh. And then I had to phone a recovery truck and then he took me to a local petrol station. And then another lad from the Midlands came with a spare wheel, one of his wheels actually for an MX-5. And he said, take it for as long as you need. Really lovely chap. And I just borrowed his wheel for like a couple of weeks.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to carry on with the breakdown stories from here because mine relates to this car as well.
Is that the car I sold you?
Yes. Oh. So my breakdown story is two breakdowns in one night.
Oh, brilliant. This sounds juicy.
So me and my mate headed up to London, to Alex's house, to go buy the S600 Megaspec.
S500.
S500
yeah, Megaspec.
And that MX-5.
The aforementioned MX-5.
So we set off. We got there quite late at night and we set off. And then I would say about half an hour down the road, got onto the M40.
Nice.
The MX-5 just cuts out. It just completely cuts out.
Which is strange because it was absolutely perfect for me. Yeah, except for the wheel and the tire thing.
I have the worst luck in any cars.
You are so shit at cars.
A terrible look.
Yeah.
So what was wrong with it?
So the alternator had gone.
Oh, okay.
So got it on the side of the road and then...
Was there no battery light?
No. Just literally cut off there. Oh. Yeah. So it was on the side of the road. I had no hazard lights, no nothing. And I was like, this is a bit dangerous, isn't it? My mate was there with Megaspec and we were like sitting there going, what do we do here? I phone up the AA. I actually had breakdown cover.
Yeah.
And this was the night when there was loads of flooding and there was loads of something. So I phoned them up and they were like, how long's the wait? 8 hours.
That's quite a long time.
Yeah. So anyway.
Was that you, Taylor?
No, I was very fast.
Okay. You were a terrible AM.
No, I was very fast.
Anyway.
So fast, he was getting section 59.
In my AA van, yeah.
So I decided to do the irresponsible thing and just leave the car there.
On the side of the motorway?
Yeah, I just left it on the side of the motorway.
With no lights?
Yeah, because Beaconsfield Services was only 2 miles up the road.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
I went to Beaconsfield Services. And I was
so
like,
you were that close? You were less than 20 minutes away from me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it literally went pretty much instantly.
Ah, right.
I remember phoning up Alex and he was like, oh, yeah, never went. Nothing happened with me.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Did you not even offer to go and tow him?
No, apparently not.
No.
No.
Brilliant.
No.
We weren't friends. No one liked Rory at that time.
Oh,
okay. Well, no one likes Rory now, but like...
It's, yeah, it was very much no car throttle versus WTF one of that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And anyway, I'm sitting there in the services going, like, we were going to wait for the AA man to come 8 hours.
Mm.
Anyway, next thing you know, I'll get a tap on the shoulder from highways police or highways officers.
So at this point, you are in the service.
I'm in the service station.
Eating a KFC, probably.
I'm in Megaspec.
So Megaspec is left in the car park. We're actually in the restaurant.
Ah, okay.
And somehow, highways tapped me on the shoulder. No, it was me that was driving that car. And they've gone, have you just left an MX-5 on the side of the road? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, you can't do that. And I was like, oh, okay. Do you want me to go back? And they were like, you can't. It's not there anymore. Oh. And I was like, why? And they were like, we've had to take it off because it was a hazard.
So did you leave it unlocked?
I left it unlocked, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were kind of hoping that highways might come and just tow it.
Wow. So apparently AA have a responsibility, you'll correct me on this, they have a responsibility to get a car off the side of the motorway within 3 hours or two hours or something like that. Yeah. So I explained that they said 8 hours and they were like, well, that's not on. So anyway, they took it back to their compound and the AA had to pick it up later at a later date.
And they paid for it.
And they paid for everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, because the AA was at fault there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we carried on our journey in Megaspec. 40 minutes later, Megaspec starts experiencing some issues as well. Same night. I'm there going, this is the worst buying experience I've ever had. Megaspec gets locked into third gear.
Oh, God.
It's a good gear to be locked in, though, because you can do everything.
No, third gear was, it was screaming at 60 miles an hour in Megaspec, quite surprisingly, actually.
Yeah.
So much so that we started off with 3/4 of a tank. After 40 minutes, we had no fuel left.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, we stop at Warwick services, fill up with fuel again, and at this point, it just won't go into gear at all. So I filled it up with a full tank and it just won't go into gear at all.
Oh.
Anyway, I then managed to, it would go into neutral, but it just wouldn't go into gear. So we put it into neutral and then we roll it off to the car park behind at the service station and then wait for AA. And again, eight hours.
Oh.
Are you having a good evening at this
I'm
point?
I'm having an amazing evening.
A fantastic.
Well, he's sat down. He's had his KFC.
Exactly. He's come to meet me.
He's got a free recovery.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Meet you. I've already worked with you at this point.
Yeah, but you get to meet me outside working hours, and that's special for you.
So the only advantage was that we filled this up with a full tank. Me and my mate were like, and it was, bearing in mind, it was freezing cold, pissing down with rain. We were like, might as well just leave it on. So for 8 hours, we just had the car running. Oh,
you actually sat there for 8 hours?
Yeah, we had to wait 8 hours. I got collected at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, Rory is also the king at wasting fuel. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
He always just has a car running. It's always terrible. Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, we were waiting there and I was like, it was all right because it had the nice comfy seats. It had good heaters. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it had massage seats or not.
I think it might have done. Yeah, they were shit though.
It wasn't Megaspec.
And then eventually they towed that off. And I was really surprised that no one asked me any questions at the AA, that I called them both off the same membership and got two cars recovered in one night and they never questioned it at all.
Ooh, maybe they felt bad for the first one.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, so that's my buying experience off Alex.
What happened with those cars though? Can you remember how much you paid and what happened after that?
So I think I paid $1,000 for both of them.
I was very generous. Yeah. I was a generous
cheap.
God.
Yeah.
The MX-5, I ended up, annoyingly, I just whacked the alternator with a hammer and it kept on working.
No, so you could have driven it home.
I could have. If I had some sort of tool to whack it, yes.
Brilliant.
But someone had stripped the whole car of all the rear boot and everything in it.
Was that me?
Yes. The only thing I had in it was this man's wheel that Alex had borrowed, which he was like, all right, could you give that back to that man on the way back as well?
Oh, my God.
So anyway.
Small price to pay for a cheap MX-5.
But that MX-5 was, I drove that around for a good few months after that and sold it for a profit of, I sold it for £1,000. To a man who was going to use it at drift school. Megaspec, I didn't even bother looking at because it wouldn't move. It was sitting outside my house, so I called up a scrapyard, but I still got I think it was like £670 for it.
Oh, so you made £670 profit?
Yeah,
out of breaking down.
Yeah,
fair play.
I mean, your time isn't worth much, so that is pure profit.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're horrible.
I know. Funny, isn't it?
All right.
What about you, Taylor?
Yeah, let's go on to Mr. AA himself.
I've had a lot of breakdowns.
Personally or stuff that you've attended to?
Both.
Okay.
I've had a lot of breakdowns. I've driven cars into rivers. I've had all sorts of breakdowns. Wait, some of them very funny, some of them very upsetting. The worst one of all was probably the one
Minge,
where I got quite scared, genuinely. So this was with the AA. I attended a breakdown on the M25 just outside of the Holmesdale Tunnel, which is a tunnel by Waltham Abbey, Junction 26. And it's quite notoriously a dangerous tunnel. There's quite a lot of crashes in there. And if you look up the walls, there's always loads of black lines and scratches all up the walls where everyone seems to just crash into it.
Yeah.
And it was, I had attended a breakdown on a Vauxhall Vivaro van just outside of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So I turned up, pulled up behind it. Obviously, I had my flashing lights on.
Do you have your wheels in?
Yeah, facing towards the grass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had pulled up behind it, you know, safe distance behind it, yellow flashing lights on, hazards on, wheels facing in, blah, blah. It had a puncture on the offside. So on the side with the traffic.
Yeah.
So I got in it and moved the van forward and towards the hard shoulder a bit more, so I had a bit more space. And my van was like, you have to park at a certain distance behind the breakdown vehicle so that there's a bit of space there, whatever. So I've obviously done that. So I went back to my van, got my jack out, started jacking the van up, the van that had broken down with the puncher. And whenever I jack a car up, changing a wheel on the traffic side, I always do it at an angle where I'm jacking the van, like jacking the vehicle up, and I'm looking at the traffic so I can see if there's anything coming. So I literally, obviously there's a brief moment where you have to line the jack up underneath the vehicle.
Yeah.
So you jack it up in the right place where you're not looking at the traffic. Mm-hmm. I remember putting the jack under, lining it up with the jacking point, pumped it up, and just as it came into contact with the van and it started lifting it off the ground, I heard the noise of tires on the rumble strip of the hard shoulder.
Jeez.
And I remember looking up and there was a lorry that had drifted into the hard shoulder.
Holy shit.
And as it done that, all I did was press myself up against this van, literally as flat as I could, and I shut my eyes.
Oh my God.
Genuinely shut my eyes. And the wind from this lorry, it must have been so close. I can't tell you how close it was to me. It wasn't obviously close enough to hit me, and it wasn't close enough to hit the jack handle of my jack, but it was very, very close. Yeah. It was over the line.
Yeah.
And the wind from this lorry was so strong, it genuinely nearly swept me off my feet.
Bloody hell.
I had to like grab the rear light of this van.
Do you think we should have, because I know in a lot of countries, they have like a move over rule where if you see a car broken down or a police officer or someone like that in the hard shoulder, you should always move out and go into lane two.
I mean, I always do that anyway, as and where I can. Obviously, but if I can move over, then...
A lot of people don't.
But
that is a rule in a lot of countries where you have to move over and you can get a ticket if you don't.
Yeah. But I'll be honest, I had a bit of an anxiety attack.
Really?
I had a bit of a panic attack. I went to the back of my van and I was a bit embarrassed, like, because I didn't want to make out like being dramatic to the...
Did the van owner see what happened as well?
I don't know. I didn't ask and he didn't say anything. But I just sort of went to the back of my van, I opened my sliding door.
Yeah.
And I just sort of put my head in the van for a moment, just leant in the back of the van and just took a breather.
Yeah.
And then I went back out and finished it off. I was like probably like 5 minutes in the back of the van. He was probably thinking, what's this guy doing? Is he having a sandwich or something? But yeah, I genuinely had a panic attack. And I, as I say, I don't know how close the lorry was, but it was terrifying.
It was close enough to shit you
up
properly.
It was very terrifying. Yeah, it was.
And how far into your AA career was that?
I'd say probably a year.
Okay. And how long did you do the AA?
Just over 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But I hadn't done that many motorway breakdowns at that point.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
I bet everyone dreads doing those, right?
Yeah, they do. And I used to work a lot out in the countryside in like rural Hertfordshire and rural Essex as well. So I didn't actually spend much time on the M25. Mm. I used to get the odd job on the M11, but the M11's a bit easier because there's obviously less traffic. But yeah, that was probably the worst, I'd say. Yeah. But as I say, I have had a lot of breakdowns, some of them quite funny.
Yeah,
but
some of them on film.
All of
it, yeah. Bloody hell, you can't stop breaking down, can you?
Yeah, yeah. I tend to find probably, so with exception of my Mini breaking down,
yeah,
and when my E36 M3 blew up, they've always been quite funny.
Okay.
I find breaking
down. What's the name of funny one?
That's a tough question, actually.
So, fun fact about Taylor. Every single road trip we have now ever done where Taylor has had to buy a car, he has broken down.
Oh, literally. And I don't know why.
Including the newest Nürburgring series.
Yes.
Isn't quite out yet.
Yeah, no, it won't be out for a while.
But yeah, make sure that you subscribe to the Autonics channel because a lot of stuff happens. A lot. And a lot of breaking down as well.
So I had a fairly funny one once. It was in the middle of the summer and I was at my old unit. Do you remember my first unit?
Oh, yeah, the little one. Yeah,
filmed the 6 Series video. At the time, I had a Land Rover Discovery 2 TD5.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was great. It was my tow vehicle. Yeah.
Great engine.
And I left the unit quite late one night because I was working quite late. It must have been about 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I remember being low on fuel. And I was driving, I left the unit and I thought the needle's not right at the bottom, but it's low, the light's on, I need to go and fill up. So I started driving towards the local BP, which was probably 15, 20 minutes up the road.
Okay, so quite a distance.
Yeah. So I drove down the country lane, blah, blah. And this is quite funny, actually, because I remember now. So I drove down the country lane for about 15 minutes. And I literally got into town. When you get into Buntingford town, you go left at this mini roundabout and then about half a mile up the road, there's a BP garage.
Yeah.
I got to this mini roundabout and it cut out. And I was like, what do I do here? And I knew it'd run out of fuel. Obviously it's turning over, nothing happening. So I rung a mate of mine and he was like, I'm really sorry to hear that. I'm at dinner at the moment.
Dinner at midnight?
No, he was like, I've just got home. I'm with my girlfriend. I'm just having a bit of dinner. I'm going to go to bed, blah, blah.
Which is fair enough.
Which is sort of fair enough. Yeah. When your mate's broken down, usually you go out and give him a hand.
Well, it depends what he's doing with his girlfriend.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Probably slinging around the room.
He might be giving her a hand.
But yeah, so anyway, I was like, And no one else was really awake or available or whatever. So I thought, it's quite a nice evening. I'll just walk. 2.5 hours later, I was nearly back at the unit. It took me about 2 hours and 45 minutes to walk all the way back to the unit.
Oh, bloody hell.
So
would it not have been quicker to walk to the petrol station?
It would have been, but I didn't have any cans.
Yes, but you can buy cans.
I didn't want to buy them because I had about 10 of them at the unit.
Okay.
Because this had happened previously. I kept buying jerry cans and they're like 17 quid a go.
Oh, God.
So anyway, I walked all the way back to the unit and I got... And also, the other reason that I didn't walk to the petrol station is because I knew the Land Rover wouldn't start on one jerry can.
Really?
I need to put 2 jerry cans
bloody
in.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. So, I went back to the unit, got 2 10-litre jerry cans because I had 2 big ones. I got in my Renault Clio 182.
Yeah.
Full fat in French racing blue, can I add? Very nice car. And I drove it to the BP, filled up these cans, and then went back to the Land Rover and poured it in the Land Rover. And I remember I had my little orange funnel and I was leant up against the back of the Land Rover, pouring it in. And I looked to my left and I just remember glancing through the rear window of the Land Rover and I saw a handlebar and my bike was in the back of the car.
Was it?
Oh my God.
And I could have just ridden it back.
Oh, bloody hell.
And I didn't realise. So... And I just looked and I thought, God.
How do you forget you've got a bicycle in the back?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. So
more
anyway.
To the point, you had a form of exercise?
I know.
I'll have to dig out some pictures of this because what I then did was I was like, right, well, I've got 2 cars here.
And a bicycle.
Yeah. What do I do? So I thought, I finished pouring the fuel in the Land Rover. started it up, but it took quite a while to turn over because obviously it had run out of fuel. It was just going nooni 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 nooni, and just before the battery was about to die, it fired up, and I was like, oh, thank God. So I thought, well, if I turn it off now, it probably won't start again. So I drive the Land Rover back to the unit with the bike in it, ride the bike back to the Clio, and then drive the Clio back to the unit. So I did that. I drove the Land Rover back to the unit, and then I rode the bike back to the Land Rover. Yeah. It took me about another hour.
Yeah, what time are we on now?
We're, at this point, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. yeah, genuinely. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And rode it all the way back to the Clio, and then went to put the bike in the back, and the bike wouldn't fit. Because I had it's called a K brace in the back of the Clio. I had no rear seats, but it had this strengthening bar in the back, and I couldn't get it in. So I was like, oh, bugger this. So I drove the Clio back to the unit with the boot open and the bike half hanging out of the boot.
Are you holding onto it with one hand?
I've got a picture of it somewhere. And I got back to the unit and I was like, I was so tired. So I just chucked the bike in the unit and I drove the Clio home. I thought, I'll just screw the Land Rover. I think I ended up getting home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
my
God. Oh, bloody hell. We've all had some fun with breakdowns.
It was quite fun. It was just when I saw the bike, I was like, oh my God.
You Muppet.
What a Muppet.
Yeah. Happy days. Anyway, shall we move it on, Rory?
Yeah. So next we are going to do something that was very popular before.
Oh.
Which is 20 questions to guess the car.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is interesting.
You say very popular before. So back when I used to host and, you know, be part of the Car Throttle podcast, I thought it'd be cool to do 20 questions.
Yeah.
And people used to like it. So I said to Rory today, why don't we do it? Give it a go.
Yeah, we were trying to think of other games that sort of worked for a podcast setting. And to be honest, I don't know why we were trying to think of other ones, because this one works so well.
This one works so well because everyone watching this, well, this one works so well because everyone listening can join in as well.
With their ears.
With their ears. Mm. With their ear holes. So, 20 questions. So, Rory is thinking of car.
Yep.
And we have 20 questions to guess the car. Taylor, how about you start?
Does Rory know anything about cars?
No.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Okay.
He knows how to lose a lot of money on cars.
I actually know how this works.
So, you ask a question and then he says yes or no.
I never listen to the car. So, you could say, I've got ADHD, so I don't know how this works. Okay.
So, you could say, is it French? And then he would say no.
Okay.
So, he's just said no, so let's do it. Use a different question. Does that
actually count?
That
as a
counts.
Question?
That was he said it.
No. It was an example. Counts.
19 to go.
Taylor, it's not French.
Is it American?
No.
That's two. Is it rear wheel drive?
Yes.
Oh. Is it German?
Yes.
Well, we know where this is going, isn't it? Is it a BMW Z4?
No, well, shut up. It's my turn. Okay. We take it in turns.
All right.
Is it a BMW Z4?
No.
Where are we up to? Five.
Five.
Is it a Mercedes?
No.
Is it a BMW?
Yes.
Oh, that's a surprise. Has it got six cylinders?
Google.
Yes. How are you looking that up?
Does it have doors that go into the body?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
that's quite good.
Yeah. Taylor, what's the final question?
Is it a BMW, as Freddie Tavares would call it, Z1?
Way.
Yes.
You are so predictable.
I thought I was being a bit unusual.
No, that was quite cheeky, but I was like, I'm going to go out on a limb here. So that was 10 questions.
That was.
We smashed good. It. We absolutely smashed it.
Fun fact about the BMW Z1 is the doors fold down into the sills.
Well, you know what I mean.
But they don't fold down enough, though, really, do they?
They do. They're very cool cars. And it's got an M20 2.5 engine, which is the same engine that's in our E30s. Mm. And they don't share any other things with any other BMWs. Mm. They use their own suspension, subframes, body panels, everything.
Are they expensive?
Yes.
Yes.
How expensive?
They're worth about 50 grand.
Oh, for an M20? With doors that goes down that won't go back up.
They're very cool.
Are they good to drive? Probably not.
I don't know. I've never driven one. I'd like to drive one.
If anyone's got a BMW Z1 and would let me drive it for a video, please let me know. I'd love to have a go.
There's two for sale on Auto Trader.
Rephrase that. If there's anyone with a BMW Z1 that would like to let us drive it, because I'd like to go as well. Don't let Alex drive it. It'll slip the clutch.
They only want someone they can trust.
There's one for sale for $40,000.
Oh, I'll have it.
The other is $65,000.
They are cool, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right, everyone's on Auto Trader now looking at these BMW Z1s. This one is... They're both red?
They're both red.
Here's a question, Rory. Have a go on Google. How many did they make?
Oh, I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess they made 5,000.
I reckon 2,000.
8,000.
Oh,
quite a few.
Common as muck.
Okay. So we're going to move the podcast on anyway. Now to our final topic. Which is going to be...
No, we've got two more topics.
Final topic.
Oh, okay, because we're running wild with the time.
Rory just wants to service his gearbox, that's all it is.
No, we're already an hour and 20 in.
Oh, bloody hell. Taylor, you need to stop talking.
You just keep waffling on.
You're like a broken record. What?
An old git.
Shut your mouth.
So the final question is, how did you meet Taylor?
Oh, is that the question we're
That is the
for?
Question, yeah.
So basically, I opened Grindr one day. It was just this old git on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It says CEO of Grindr and there was a picture of me grinding. So interesting story.
Mm, very interesting.
Let me go back. So do you remember a few years ago when I bought a BMW E46 330i Touring manual for £140?
Yes.
So it was silver. I can't remember the name, but it was very, very, very rusty.
You love that car, though.
I absolutely love that car. It was fantastic. One of the best cars I've ever bought. And the reason I bought that was because I think I may have put out on Instagram or whatever it was. No, it wasn't even that. I got an inbound from a young guy who lived in Bristol, I think, with his dad and his family, saying, Alex, we've got this car. It's been in the family for 10 years. My dad is buying an M140i and BMW are going to give us scrap value for that car, £140. Please, we don't want to scrap it. We want you to have it for £140. And I was like, I really, really don't need a car because it was just Car Throttle at the time. I had loads of press cars coming out of my ears. And I said to Ethan, you should buy this car as a family car, because he was kind of looking for something and he ummed and ahed and he was like, yeah, really excited. And then he changed his mind. And I was like, brilliant. Now I need to buy it. So I did. So I went to Bristol on the train and I picked it up for £140. And it was absolutely fantastic until stuff started going wrong. And then after, I think, 16 months or something like that, I was like, okay, I'm done with this car now. Scratch that itch. We've done some videos.
Didn't you ruin it?
No.
It was already ruined.
It was pretty broken. Okay. It was like,
didn't you put bucket seats in it?
No. That was the other one. That was the 330D Touring.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I sold that to a guy because he wanted to use it as a track car. And it was 175,000 miles. I was regularly getting like 40 mpg with that thing. I drove it all the way to Wales and back. It was great. Loved it.
Brilliant.
A lot of rust.
Oh, it was so much rust. Yeah, yeah. I was proud of that amount of rust. Mm. Anyway, got rid of it. And then a couple of years go by and I'm like, something's missing in my life. And it turns out it was an E46 330i Touring.
Mm. And Taylor.
No, not quite then. And I was like, I really want one. I didn't need one, but I just wanted one. You know, sometimes you get that itch, don't you? You get that bee in your bonnet.
Well, didn't you see it at Cafe in a Machine?
That was it. So we did a Car Throttle Cafe in a Machine meet. That was it. And in comes, I think it was a Discovery, towing a trailer with my old BMW on the back.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on your story.
Yeah, and I was chatting to someone who was a follower of the channel. And I saw my old car and I ran. I didn't even excuse myself. I ran after that car into the car park and I was like, oh my God, it's my car. Oh no, I love it. Can I buy it back? And he was like, head gasket's gone. It's buggered. It had bucket seats in it and stuff like that. He turns out he just overheated it on a track day.
Oh, okay.
And I was really upset because I just desperately wanted it. And then, yeah, like you said, I had that BMW bonnet. I needed to get an E46. So I put up on my Instagram stories, is anyone selling something? And then, wait, no, not it wasn't your turn yet, Taylor. Ooh. And then this chap, I don't know where he lives, message saying, I've got a 318i Touring. I've done the 330i swap, I think with a gearbox, but the braking system was all 318i. But he did like loads of walkarounds for me and it looked fantastic and it was blue. And I was like, oh, this looks the bollocks. And I think he wanted like $3,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let's do a deal. I was really happy with it. And then on the day that I'm going to go and buy that car,
Hi.
I get a message from Taylor Hetherington saying,
yes.
No, I mean, you can pick up the story from now, don't
I can't you? I messaged you.
But
saying,
why did you message me?
Because I saw it on your story.
Oh, so you followed me?
Yeah. I followed you for ages.
Okay.
I was a big fan until I met you and realized you're an arse. But yeah. I messaged you and said, I have got a one of one factory Techno Violet.
You had me. You had me at I've
manual,
got.
Manual. 330i manual. It was high mileage.
And I was like, I'm yours.
220,000 miles. And that was actually my personal car, one of. And I, you know what, I'm like, I'm not selling it. I'm keeping it. And my mate said to me at the time, like, why don't you sell it to him? Like,
who was that?
You don't really use it. It's my mate Joe. And he's like, you don't really use it. It's just sitting there. Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool to see it on the telly?
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe. I'll see what I can get for it. And we'll see. So obviously I messaged you and offered it to you.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my God, I'm on my way.
Yeah, I pretty much was.
And I was out at the time in London. I was in East or West London. I think I went to Stratford or something like that. And you were like, can I come now? And I was like, what? I was like, I'm out at the moment.
It
was
Alex, like, impatient.
Yeah, no. He was like, I'll be an hour.
But equally, Taylor's very used to that phrase.
Funny. Very funny. So yeah, so you were like, I'm going to be an hour. And I'm like, oh, I'm 50 minutes away myself. So yeah. I got there like 10 minutes before you. And
warmed up the engine to make sure there were no issues.
Yeah, and all that, yeah. No, and you turned up with Gareth, Chris. It was just you, Gareth, just, and yeah. Chris, wasn't it?
And then there was you,
Henry and Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so it's 3-on-3.
It was 3-on-3. Yeah. I was like, I want to put up a fight here. I let him have it for nothing. So obviously, I showed you around the car. I'd done quite a lot to it. I fitted Bilstein coilovers on it, new wheels and tires.
I hate those Bilsteins.
So you're responsible for that?
What?
That the terrible Bilsteins. Suspension.
I quite liked it.
They're way too firm.
Same. and it had an Alpina exhaust on it, which was on it when I got it.
Yeah. Which is now in the corner of our unit chopped in half.
Yes. Yep.
And I put those BBS CH wheels on it.
Yeah, they're lovely.
And a few other bits and bobs. I can't remember what else.
My BBS.
Shut up, Rory.
But yeah, and then you came and looked at it and you test drove it and you were happy with it.
Yeah.
I did have one issue with it.
Yeah.
So I broke down in it.
Did you? You failed to mention that.
Yeah, so no, I did mention it at the time. I broke down in it a week before you came to see it.
Yeah.
And it was because it cut out on a quarter of a tank and ran out of fuel.
Mm, strange that.
And I put a new sender unit in the driver's side.
Oh, so only the one?
Yeah, because I looked on the forum and apparently that was the one that failed.
Okay, so you didn't bother doing the pair.
So I fitted that, but then I didn't have a chance to test drive it. I just fitted it and then it sat in my unit for a week or so because I didn't use it because I think the weather was really crap at the time and I didn't really like driving it in the rain because it would go all rotten. So anyway, obviously you came
rotten.
To it.
Rotten? You mean more rotten?
Yeah, and I said to you at the time, I told you about that problem and I said, here's the other sender. I showed you, here's the old sender, didn't I? Do you remember I showed you the old sender? I said, this is what I've changed. This is what happened, blah, blah, blah. And you were like, okay, no problem. So you took the car away, bought it, very happy, very satisfied customer.
We did quite a good deal though, didn't you?
Yeah, I gave it to you quite a reasonable price, didn't I?
Yeah, well, you wanted 4.5.
And I gave it to you for 4.
No, I took it for 4. You didn't give it to me for 4.
I let you have it for 4. I was being nice. I'm a very generous person.
You got ripped off, really.
You got ripped off.
I did not. It's a one of one.
I paid it was 220,000 miles. It was rotten and it was
Rory.
Broken.
Sorry, Rory, how much have you lost in cars? £90,000.
Oh, great. That's out there now.
Yeah. That's another story. We will get to that soon. 90 grand. That's a massive house deposit.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Right. So my point is, shut up.
Brilliant. But yeah, I paid next to nothing for it, so I didn't mind.
How much did you pay for it?
So I bought two of them.
How? Oh, okay.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Is this off Cars and Custard?
Harry, Cars and Custard, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it used to be his.
I bought a silver one and that Techno Violet one, both off of him. And I think I paid £3,000 for the pair.
Oh!
And I sold the silver one for $2,250.
You what?
I put new suspension on it.
Which is shit.
Which I took off another car and I got three, but we'll
gloss over that. Oh my God. You owe me $2,000. You're not leaving here without $2,000.
So anyway. I'm sure you I told
did
you
what?
This. I'm sure I told you.
Oh, this. You proper done him over.
I think it was that. Anyway, I'll have to clarify with Harry because I can't remember. I might have paid 3.5 for the pair. But anyway. So you took the car away, obviously extremely happy with your new purchase.
Not with the suspension. I
but
do remember.
The car was nice.
I do remember kind of racing Gareth home because he was in my CX-5 long-termer at the time.
Mm. Oh, also, I did have the steering wheel retrimmed and I put that nice head unit in it as well.
Yeah, that head unit's crap.
No, it's not.
No, it's genuinely crap. It is rubbish.
It is rubbish. And, it was the version before they actually had the good version.
It's only because he's got an unbranded phone and it doesn't connect properly. And I had the steering wheel was all lovely as well. I had that all titivated.
Okay.
So anyway, you took the car away.
$3,000 for both cars. And I will never financially recover.
I think it was that. I'll double check with him. But so yeah, you took the car away, and then the day after you were driving to a car throttle shoot at This Is Your Garage in Oxford.
Yeah, I'll continue this story. So I was driving up the road and then the car is over a quarter of a tank because Taylor assures me, don't go under a quarter of a tank. I was like, okay, I was about 5 minutes away from Beaconsfield Services. So I was going to pull in there, get some fuel. But Taylor didn't give me the opportunity to do that, did you, Taylor? Because the car broke down, it ran out of fuel. About a mile and a half away from Beaconsfield. And me being me, don't have AA or RAC or anything like that. So I'm like, oh, for crying out loud.
You being you, posted it on Instagram.
Saying it's broken down.
And I think...
Can anyone help
every
me?
Every single person that lives in the UK tagged me in it.
Good.
And sent it to me.
Good. Anyway, Jack McNeil came out and he gave me a jerry can. And then I got to the petrol station and everything was okay. Oh, no. No, it wasn't. Was it, Taylor?
No.
Because I spent over £100 filling up the car with super unleaded petrol. I go in to pay. I come out. And then there's a man saying, oh, I fell off it. Your car's leaking fuel. I was like, no, don't be silly. It doesn't leak fuel. It just runs out of fuel. And I look underneath and it is gushing. It is gushing out. And I'm like, oh shit, something's gone on here. Mm. I'm going to explode the whole of Shell Beaconsfield. So I drive the car away to the car wash and it is pouring out, going back into the bloody petrol station.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, this is very embarrassing. So so then I phoned you up, didn't I? I was like...
You phoned me up, slightly disgruntled.
I was very disgruntled, yes.
And explained that you'd missed your shoot on that day with car throttle.
And that I'd lost a lot of money as well.
Yeah. And obviously, to be fair, I would have done this with anyone, but I went and picked the car up.
No, you made me drive it home.
Well, you drove it home and then I picked
it up. Yeah, you were like, I'll be fine, just drive it home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's only pissing out, it's fine.
Wait, so you drove it home even though it's pissing?
Yeah, oh, it stopped pissing out after a while, after it got to a certain level.
Oh, yeah, after I got home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So after anyway, I lost half a tank, yeah.
Yeah, so you... you then drove it home and I came out of my trailer, picked it up the same day... Took it home and fixed it that night. I then filled it up with a full tank of petrol.
Two, right?
To check to make sure it wasn't leaking. And it was it was high octane as well, 98 octane. And I sent you that in a video. Thank you very much. Yeah. And then I delivered it back to your house.
And you cleaned it as well.
And I cleaned it as well.
But because you cleaned it, it exposed even more rust. Yes. Like, oh, brilliant.
But the problem was, is because where I replaced the centre, I didn't fit it properly and it pinched the seal.
Yeah.
Oh. And they're such a fiddle to fit, those senders in the tanks. And it just caught the rubber seal and it was leaking when you filled it up with a full tank around a rubber seal. So I replaced the other sender as well and both rubber seals so that it didn't leak.
Fantastic.
And it still cuts out a quarter of time.
Yes. So I was going to say, I've broken down another two times.
No, Chris broke down in it as well.
Yes, I know. I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
And Chris also broke down on his way, I think, to the Lake District or so because he had to go home.
Mm.
And
so,
now
that we're doing the M3 conversion on it.
I've forgotten about it, so it's still going to have the issue. I'm actually going to speak to Reedish and say, can you fit a new fuel?
I don't know what it is. I think, actually, the fuel... gauge needs recalibrating,
which I try to do because you can do that weird kind of variant of key on, key off, key on, key off, or whatever it is, press the buttons, blah blah blah, and then it should reset everything and all the dials go to max and then back down.
Mm.
And it did that, but it didn't reset the fuel gauge. So something inherently wrong, and I think it's you.
Probably.
Are a wrong'un.
Yes. So, and then what happened was, I delivered the car back to you, and it was very lovely, and you were appreciative, and you did a lovely little video of me reversing my trailer, because I'm a professional at reversing trailers.
Yeah, for the amount of towing you do, you're not
apart
very
from
good.
Caravans.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, because you crashed a caravan into that car, didn't
you? Yes, I did, yeah.
You're one of one BMW.
Yeah. And it was after everyone had told me to stop, and I'd stopped, and I thought, oh, they weren't telling me to stop. There's nothing behind me. So I carried on and then backed it into your car.
Yes.
So anyway, and then I was very nice to you, and I said, you know, if you need any help with anything else, let me know, blah, blah. And you said, actually, I really like your X5, and I'd like to get one.
Hmm.
And... I think it was a little while after that, actually, wasn't it? You contacted me and said that you wanted an X5.
Was this with the new channel?
No. You said that you wanted an X5, and I said, okay, I'll find you one. And you wanted an auto one at first.
Yeah.
So we went and looked at that auto one, and it was rubbish. Do you remember?
Which one was that?
In London.
Oh.
Up the road from West Kebab.
Yes. Yeah.
We went to West Kebab.
Classic.
I said to you, look, fine, we'll get a manual one because the manuals are better. And you were like, no, I want an auto because I've got a dodgy hip. And I was at the clutch.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then I found you Nut.
Yeah.
On Facebook Marketplace for £1,000.
Yep.
And I remember ringing you and I was like, I found this X5. We need to go and get it tonight.
Yeah.
And then we went up that night to, was it Liverpool?
It was very far. It was
very far away to Liverpool.
It's so far that you need to subtitle everyone. Yes. Yeah.
In my X5, my lovely brick, to go and get him. And we chatted the whole way, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
And you were saying how you were thinking about starting up your own channel and doing your own thing, blah, blah, blah. And I said that I would support you in every way I can. Like, if you ever wanted cars sourcing or if you ever wanted to film any of my cars or whatever, I would be happy to do that. And then you came to me one day. I remember, actually, I was on a car wow shoot because I used to do... Well, no, because this was pre me being on camera.
All right.
And I used to supply all their smashy uppy cars. You know, the old cars that used to take off-roading or whatever. I used to supply all of those. So, I remember you ringing me up and saying, what are all the common faults with an X5? I want to do an X5 buyer's guide.
Yeah.
And then I told you all the common issues, blah, blah. And you said, do you mind if we meet at your unit? We'll get both the X5s out. We'll do a walk around and what to look out for and stuff like that. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And then we met at my unit one day.
That was me and Rory, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this is like the second video, I think, on the channel. Yeah.
Second video on the channel. And it was the second time I'd ever met you, Rory, wasn't it? And I had my X5 all nice and clean outside, all lovely, lovely. And I remember saying to Barney and everyone, I was like, oh my God, Alex Kirsten's coming today. They're going to do some filming. I might end up being on the telly, I don't know.
And I do believe we went there originally so you would actually help fit some new arms to Nut, because Nut suspension was shot.
We were going to do filming and a bit of mechanics.
So we were going to do the buyer guide and then sort of filming, doing up a thing. And then I remember I was speaking to Taylor and he was showing me around his garage and then he started talking about this £25 BMW, his 6 Series, and was just talking about it. And I literally just went, okay. I turned to Alex pretty much after a few minutes and went, we're doing the video on the 6 Series.
I remember you were like, cancel the X5. We're going to do this because this is interesting. And that was the first time I'd ever been on camera in my life. And I always kind of liked the idea of being on YouTube, but never had the courage to do it myself.
Yeah.
Always thought, I'm never going to do it because it's a saturated market, you know, and it's difficult to get out
there.
It's
very hard to get into,
And... I was well up for it. I just remember being like, I had no idea when the camera was recording. I had no idea what to say.
The Burger King King hat, weren't you?
Taylor, you still have no bloody idea when the camera's recording.
I hear the beat.
But you'll always start talking before I'm even actually recording.
No, you're just slow. Because I'll start talking and you go, wait a minute, I'm not having this.
I'm not having this.
So slow. You'll go, no, just stop what you're doing. Just wait. And then it'll be... But yeah, and I had no idea like what to say or what to do or whatever, but I just went with it.
Yeah, that's and all then, you can do. Yeah, really. Yeah. That's where you get the most genuine, you know, reaction out of people.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the comments literally the night of that video, because that video pretty much was a smash hit for us straight away.
Yeah, it did really well. Yeah.
And everyone was just saying, Taylor's amazing in front of the camera, so natural, blah, blah, blah. This guy, we want to see more of this guy's stories, everything like that.
Yeah.
And then you drafted me in.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Can't get rid of you now.
Sitting on a sex sofa.
Sitting on toilet.
Sitting on toilet. So, yeah, that's the story, how Taylor and I met.
Yes.
It's a love story.
It's been a love story ever since.
It has, it has. We've seen some things.
Yeah, we've been all around the world.
Well, I've been to your wedding. Yeah. You've been to my, yeah, bloody hell, yeah. In my wedding. Yeah.
It's been great. And me and Rory have been on holiday together as well. We went to Vietnam.
We have actually gone halfway across the world.
Yeah, we went on a very romantic holiday to Vietnam.
You
together,
did.
Yeah, and we drove some motorbikes.
Don't not a mopeds. Motorbike.
It had a manual gearbox.
It is a moped.
It was a semi-automatic.
It was a semi-gearbox.
You are banned from motorcycles.
But
I don't know why. I've never really crashed by accident.
I think we're in agreement.
Never really crashed. What?
What?
What? You've only ever crashed on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay. But you on a motorbike, you will crash by accident. It'll be very bad.
That's not true. I'm very stable.
Mind you, there is a lot of pushing for I've got a low center of gravity.
Which yeah. I think brings us to... I think we have to do a Vietnam special at some point.
Yeah, yes, we might have to do that. Yeah,
we do. Yeah.
So yeah, plenty of discussion there.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. How long have we been?
Well, I don't know. We messed around at the start, so I reckon it's probably about an hour and a half.
Oh, again. Well, Maisie's been asleep for an hour and a half.
Do we need
she?
To do another subject?
No,
I think we're good. You are the subject, and with regret, you're fired.
All right, I'll see you later.
Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed episode 3 of the All Tidings podcast. Keep the questions and comments and reviews coming for the podcast because it's still doing very well, isn't it, Rory?
I got sent just by a random email that we were the top in Finland automotive,
yeah.
The top in a few other weird places that I've never heard of.
Yeah,
I was like, cool.
So we're happy and we're top of the... UK automotive podcast charts as well.
Yeah, people seem to very much like the podcast. I don't know if I told you guys this, but I was driving my E30 Touring the other day at the, I think it's the M11 or the A14, and a guy came up next to me in a Honda CRV, and he was waving at me and like he gave me a thumbs up, blah, 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 and I gave him a thumbs up. And I remember he just pressed his phone against the driver's side window and he was listening to the podcast. I could see the little podcast thing on his screen. And
that's
I was funny. Like, how mad is that? He's literally sat next to me on the motorway listening to me.
But that's not where it ends. Because in Germany, on the way to the Nürburgring, do you remember? I was in the Alpha.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in a van. And I overtook him. And then all of a sudden I heard... beep, 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 beep. And I was like, what's going on? And he pulls up alongside me and winds down the window. He's like, Alice, I love you. I'm watching the podcast. And I'm like, you what? He's like, he showed me his phone. And lo and behold, we're there on YouTube on his,
brilliant.
On his phone. Yeah, yeah. So thank you very much for watching. Preferably don't do it while you're driving because that's very, very legal and very silly thing to do. But thank you very much for watching, listening and all that.
I had a similar experience to this as well. I was in Tom Lenthal's MX-5 and I was driving past this car and I saw an Auto Alex 500 limited edition sticker.
Oh, nice.
They're rare. I was like, oh my God. Anyway, I gave this guy a few little beeps, pulled up alongside him and was like, this guy like this. He looked at me and he didn't have a clue.
That's quite
fantastic. Fantastic. And on that very happy note, I think we're going to call it there, aren't we?
Yep. That's the end of the podcast.
It is. Thank you very much for watching and listening and just being totally awesome. Please keep those positive reviews coming because we love to read the reviews. And we're going to be going to a weekly podcast.
What?
I'm announcing it.
We have not discussed this.
No, I know, but we're going to. People are asking for it, so we might as well give people what they want.
I'm a very busy person.
No, you're not. So we're going to be going to weekly podcasts. It's good for us and it's good for them, Rory. It only takes an hour and a half. Sharp. Okay?
Okay. I'll tell you what, I'll do a deal.
Yeah.
We will start doing weekly podcasts, but you guys are going to have to start coming to me.
No, this is a long way for me
to travel, and I'm a very busy person.
Well, we'll just get other interesting people in. You're not the only one. You are...
All right, I'll come back.
There we go. And on that note, thank you very much for listening and watching. Have a great remainder of the week. And there is a podcast email, which is...
podcast@autoalexcars.com.
Thank you very much. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.